B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Starting at home, we go to a man who covers the league who is from home. That's right, Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Mikey G!
What's up there, Roofer?
So, plenty of stuff to get to. First of all, the Cowboys lost last night. Eagles back in it. Where do you see the Eagles like over that second half of this season?
The stretch is what the stretch is right here with the Patriots and the Seahawks. But after that, you got to love the fact that you got two games coming up against the Giants, who just are incapable of beating a team that they're not supposed to beat. Frankly, they're not even beating the teams they're supposed to beat. So you got to like having that, especially with the Cowboys being done with the Giants. So that's one thing. They got one against the Redskins left, right? Because they played the Redskins once already.
Yes,
they open up against the Redskins.
They got Miami left.
And they got Miami left. So, I said this on the air today on Good Morning Football. The longer the Cowboys let them hang around and don't deliver the knockout punch that they could have delivered early in the season, the more the team that has been there before is going to start to believe that they're going to do it again here. So if you're asking me to handicap the NFC East, I give the Eagles the upper hand at this point.
Wow, look at that! Because it's all going to come down to December 22nd at the Link, the rematch, and I think the whole thing gets decided right there that day.
Reason to believe that, and if you're the Eagles, you certainly expect. And we've seen this before. A team gets run off the field the first time they meet up. Everybody says, oh, it's going to happen again. And it's just a completely different performance. And if I'm Doug Peterson, I probably like the fact that things got so out of hand in that game because that'll allow your guys to refocus that week and probably get a better week of preparation. I mean, we're looking way ahead at this point. But I think they show up, they play much better, and they wind up winning that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree. It's funny because we've seen that scenario, and I'm with you. Let me ask you about this: the trade deadline. Did they come close to doing anything? Did you hear? Because you always have a great ear to what's going on. And how come you think Howie didn't add, especially the wide receiver core, which you know is among the worst in football?
Yeah. Well, listen, and this goes really back to them signing Jordan Matthews. Officially today, you look at that and you say, okay, well, that's not a DeSean Jackson replacement. That's not a speed guy by any stretch. But speed guys don't grow on trees. You're not getting them at this point of the season. And frankly, come trade deadline, you know, those guys had a high price tag if you want to go out there and get the kind of a guy like that. I mean, listen, the Bengals have John Ross and have been refusing to move him. I mean, even teams that are – you know, struggling and rebuilding and all this stuff, we'll realize the value of having a speed guy on the roster. So that's number one for that point of things. The other thing is the Leonard Williams, I know at some point they were nosing around Leonard Williams, but Howie's looking at it saying, you know, he's built this team to where it is right now, and you got a quarterback that's no longer on his rookie deal, so that's going to hamstring you from a certain standpoint of how you're able to fill some holes via free agency. So he values these picks because that's the way you're going to be able to sustain once you get to a certain level. You've got to have your picks and you got to hit on your picks. So I don't mind the fact that he stood pat. I didn't see a whole lot going on. I didn't really feel like they were really close on a lot of things. I'd say the closest that they probably were on anything was Jalen Ramsey a while back. But at the time, the Jags weren't going to do it and still weren't going to do it for what the Eagles were willing to part with. So I give them credit for making a run there. But outside of that, I didn't really see a whole lot that was out there that was available that I thought was going to be able to help them.
Hey, and a lot of people are talking about this because he's had a real good year for the Giants. And he was here last year and yesterday had a great game with two touchdown catches. And the two-point conversion, and that's Golden Tate. How come they could not get Golden Tate to work here?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it's so hard in the middle of the season to get a guy accustomed to what you're doing there. both from a culture standpoint, and also a schematic standpoint. You hear it all the time. If coordinator switches what he's doing in the middle of the season, or you switch coordinators, you hear it all the time. Well, it wasn't until the off season we could really pare the thing down and rebuild it and start again. It's just so hard to do for these guys in the middle of the season. So I would say that that's probably one thing. And the other aspect of it is the Giants are trying to build things around Golden Tate because he's the one reliable guy that they've got. You know? Whereas the Eagles, he was just another weapon on the offense. So I don't know that he was an unmitigated disaster by any stretch. I mean, he caught the touchdown in the playoffs against the
but he wasn't incorporated. And quite frankly, now you know how I feel about Nelson Aguilar. So I would assume, I just assume keep Tate this year as the slot guy.
Yeah, but at that number, what, $7 million a year or whatever it was. I mean,
Aguilar was getting 9.5.
Well, that's in the last year of his deal. It was already predetermined, and Tate got guaranteed money. Well, he had guaranteed money until he went and got suspended. So I don't knock them for that. I mean, that deal to me, the Giants went way above what anybody else was willing.
Listen,
to get.
I wouldn't have paid him that kind of money. But my only point is, I hate Nelson Aguilar with a visceral passion as a player, and he would have been an upgrade. That's the only point.
I understand what you're saying from that standpoint, Ant, but I just know that they had the value on the guy coming out of there, and they weren't going anywhere near with the Giants.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. So, you know, I get that.
There you go. All right.
I get that. All right, let's talk about the landscape of the NFC for a second. Rams lose to another backup quarterback. Rams lose in Pittsburgh. Goff struggles mightily. The Rams lose, the Saints lose at home to Atlanta. Go figure that. Explain the landscape of the NFC with the Niners and the Seahawks playing tonight.
Well, my argument coming into the season was you might have three teams coming out of the NFC West, but the more I thought about that, the more I thought, you know, that's going to be really difficult because the Rams have got some tough games. And they also, I think we're going to have some issues with Gurley's is not what he was. And I don't think we're ever going to see it again, because of that arthritic condition in his knee, number one. And number two, the offensive line, they missed Saffold. That's a guy they really missed. And Andrew Whitworth, God bless him for playing as well as he has for as long as he has. He was starting to tail off already last year. So, it's tough to sustain what they're doing when you don't have a running game. I mean, look, they brought in Bortles for a play yesterday, which McVay said was planned. He said it had nothing to do with Goff getting dinged on that one play. And then they ran that fake punt where Johnny Heckard came up on the line. We talked on the air about this morning. I said, that to me is a sign of a team that realizes that its strengths are not as strong as they used to be. And now they're trying to manufacture some things. Whereas when you've got that strong running game, you can run the boot off of the stretch play action to one side, and Goff's got all the room in the world. And now he's operating, all alone back there. That's a much different Jared Goff than the guy that's been under pressure a lot lately. So I foresaw I've made many predictions that haven't gone right. This is the one that I saw coming into the season. I said, this team's going to have some issues.
That's
so not surprising to me that they're on the outside looking in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So if you're looking at the NFC, how do you make it power? I mean, obviously you have the Niners would be number one, but what would your power rankings in the conference look like?
Niners one, Seahawks two. I think Seattle's actually going to win the game tonight. That's my prediction for that one. So I'd put those two neck and neck. All due respect to the Packers, but I'd still put the Saints up there. I mean, don't look at the Saints game like, oh, they lost a game in which they were two touchdown favorites. Look at it like they lost a game against the Falcons team That
was desperate.
Coming out of the bye, realized.
Got the quarterback back. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and they come out of the bye, and they got nothing to lose. That's a dangerous spot against a team that still has playmakers on both sides of the ball. They're playing loose. I mean, that's the way they tried to play yesterday. Give Dan Quinn credit. I know we've been bashing him all year, but give Dan Quinn credit for what he's been able to do yesterday as far as getting that team to believe. So I still put them there. I like the Packers, but a team with a first year coach, a lot of times can start to stack some wins, but then you get into a certain spot where you really got to dig deep into your offensive scheme and these other things. It just feels like a team that's just not going to be able to win a game that it needs to win, which could be wild card weekend. So those are the three that I'd have up there. Minnesota, I'm impressed with Minnesota. I did not think that they were going to be able to keep this thing. I thought they were going to be a middling team this year, but they are actually playing well, and they got a hammer and another hammer at the running game with Madison and Cook. Those guys, that is really tough to go against. You gotta like where they are right now, particularly because Cousins hasn't had any brain fart.
By the way, he's played well. He played well last night. No Thielen. He got out of the pocket, made plays. I thought he played a real good game. So
he did. And the big thing with him, though, is just at certain points during the game, he will just have just these mental breakdowns.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere. I've talked to guys who have coached and played with him before, and they say, like, his brain just stops working sometimes. He did not do that last night. As long as he does that, you got to love the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm with you. I ask you, so how far are the Eagles away from this group? And that means just should
right
they?
There.
They're right there. So you think they can make another run?
Yeah.
Should they get in?
I gave you the other teams just because I was, I was kind of going through it for you as far as how the Eagles would navigate. But the fact that the Eagles keep having these games where back against the wall they got to perform and Doug keeps getting them to respond, it's great. Now, what you don't want is obviously you keep going to that well, eventually it's going to be dry. So you got to start stacking some wins. You can't have to go, play a difficult or a team on the road like Buffalo, Green Bay. You can't keep having these games where you absolutely positively need to save your season. It's just not going to work that way. So I think that now you come out of the bye, you realize you're in the thick of things. I don't know what they're going to wind up doing over the next 2 weeks. As long as you split, if they split these next two games, everybody's happy. Because now you come out of it, you got that easy stretch down the stretch that we were talking about. So I just don't see any way that they really fall apart. I got them, they're hovering around 9-7, 10-6 for sure.
Wow. Is that defense good enough to play with an offense that's not a big strike offense that needs to grind out, take 8, 9, 10 plays to score?
Wait, say that again?
So to be an effective team, your defense has to match your offense. So if you look at how they're built with
they're built
to play with a team that's going to score. And the Eagles' offense now, without DeSean Jackson, is it an offense that's going to grind it out. So
I'm sorry, I misunderstood what you were saying. I think so, and I think what you're going to see from this defense is Malcolm Jenkins and I talked about this before the Buffalo game. He said, and this goes into what Skandrick was criticizing him for, as far as him screwing up assignments or whatever. Malcolm had told me, actually, it was actually the day before Skandrick had talked, said we were able to get away with things because our defensive front was so good. Whereas now we realize they're so banged up and they're just not what they were, that on the back end, we have to play better assignment football. So look, he was taking chances. He would come up and try and jump a play because, the quarterback's not going to, if he doesn't deliver this, he's going to get sacked. So now they're going to play better assignment football. I think it's more of a bend but don't break philosophy, really, which is what Jim Schwartz tries to do a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see that. You're going to see them really start to try and eliminate the big play in the second half of the season. Not start to, but continue to eliminate the big play in the second half of the season.
Mikey, great stuff, buddy.
All right, pal. I appreciate it.
How's the family? How's the little angel?
My daughter's doing great. We just moved the other day.
And oh, you did?
Yeah, so she's loving her room. She slept till 6:30 this morning.
Nice.
Second time in 3 days, which is
fantastic. Where are you at now?
We stayed in Hoboken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but she's usually a 5 o'clock hour waker upper in the last two out of 3 days, 6:30. So we're loving life, man.
Good for you, brother. Good for you. God bless the family, man. We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right.
There he is, Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, South Philadelphia's own, my former producer who's doing big work. See that? That's what you got to hope for, Junis. Mike, you're doing big things. And he was once a
strive
producer.
For, I guess.
Yeah. Tim in Dayton, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Timmy.
Anthony, I literally wrote down some notes yesterday because I wanted to call you today, and Mike Garofalo like stole half of them. So first of all, I usually dread the bye week, but this was a good one just to kind of take a step back and kind of really watch the whole landscape, because that's exactly what I wanted to do with you, was go over the landscape of the NFC. I think it's wide open from like the 3 through the 6 seeds. If you look at Seattle's schedule coming up, it is brutal, man. San Francisco's schedule is brutal. The Rams' schedule is brutal. We know what Dallas's schedule is. So I just think it's kind of wide open. You know, a couple weeks ago we were talking wild cards, not even a possibility. But you know, at this point, it might be.
Here's my only fear about the wild card is the next two games. You got to then split. Would you agree?
No. They have to split. They have to go 1-1 in these next 2 weeks. And then, you know, going down the stretch, when we get off the phone, pull up San Francisco and Seattle schedule and just go through it. It's brutal. So something I wanted to ask you. You talk about the way that the NFL is played as far as, you know, stretching the field, going down the field. Would you agree that the way that the game is played this time of the year changes a little bit? You know, you get the weather going, you get, you watched that Green Bay, Carolina game yesterday. The weather comes into a factor. You guys are getting tired, you know, throughout the year. The game slows down just a little bit. And I think offensive and defensive line play usually prevails this time of year. Wouldn't you agree?
Not altogether, brother. Because, like, if you look at that game, You will. Now, Jones had an incredible game, right? I mean, he was.
Oh, yeah.
But Rodgers still was able to go down the field. Like, you still got to be able to go down the field. Like, that aspect of the game never goes away. Because even in cold weather, the only time it actually really impacts is when there's great wind. But snow and rain, I mean, like, you see it, you got to go down the field. You still,
sure.
That's still. Now, again, I hear your point, and your point is not wrong. I'm still a little concerned that they're going to be playing offense in a box, and that's it.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that brings me to this. Then, so you say the Sixers are built for 16, right?
Yes.
So, do you think that possibly with the way that the Eagles are constructed, do you think they're built for December, January football? Because look, if they can win the division and they get an outdoor game in Philadelphia against the Rams, I'll take my chances. And then if they get an outdoor game against the Vikings with a rematch in Lincoln Financial, I'll take my chances against them. If they got to go up to Green Bay outside and it's a driving wind or snow, I mean, yeah, I'll take my chances. I mean, now do I think they could win that game? Probably not, but still, I think that, you know, they're close enough. I mean, we'll see what happens, but
I love you, man. You're always a great Eagle fan. Thank you, Timmy. We appreciate it, and I love your optimism. I do. Look, it's a day to be optimistic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.